wide public interest expressed in the second tape of our master series, A Solar Tour, has influenced our space friends to present a sequel. This discourse is titled A Galactic Tour. It is given by one of the ablest of speakers from space. He is known as Hapton, the keeper of the records of all events taking place in this sector of space. It is an honor to present at this time, Hapton.
Greetings, O children of the light. I am Hapton. At this time, my brothers and sisters, we shall take you upon a little journey far removed from your solar system. We board one of our craft and slowly work our way out of your solar system to examine some of the wonders which lie about you. We are entering that area known now as your galaxy. About us lie myriads of stars, flaming suns, giving light to that which our Creator has envisioned. We set our course first for your nearest neighbor, known to your peoples as Alpha Centauri. We come close to this one and see a blinding white sun circled by two clouds. One of these known as Centaurus, the other as Beta Centauri. As we approach, we come to an interesting sight. For here, my brothers, we see lofty mountain peaks, snow-capped ranges, extending as far as the eye can perceive, very similar to your Himalayas. For Centaurus is a mammoth planet. Its peoples are a race progressed perhaps 10 to 15,000 of your years in advance of your planet's cultures or technologies. Here we see great and mighty cities with the spirit of eternal youth expressing itself in all line and form. And the people themselves radiate a type of warmth and friendliness which is a direct result of their evolution. Your music expresses itself with that sense of all-pervading enthusiasm and well-being as experienced by all those who dwell upon this planet. For here we see a mighty race of beings, a civilization whose achievements are well recognized throughout not only this galaxy, but others. We find, and perhaps it is no coincidence, that one that speaks with you regularly enjoys the training of philosophy and the deeper meanings of life. For these ones have achieved truly a sense of rapport with life and all experience. It is a majestic sight, one which is inspiring to all. And now, let us move on and explore some of your more familiar constellations. As we progress outwards, we approach that blazing orb in the heavens known as Aldebaran. Here we see a mighty sun throwing tongues of flame. Explore some of your more familiar constellations. As we progress outwards, we approach that blazing orb in the heavens known as Aldebaran. Here we see a mighty sun throwing tongues of flame billions of miles into the heavens, a spectacle which would overwhelm most eyes upon your surface. We see not one nor two, but a dozen of planets circling this mighty one. We see evidences of more than one race. Actually, there are five. And here we come across the most interesting phenomena. It is known to your peoples that the great pyramids of your ancient history were wonders incapable of being produced by the primitive folk of that period. This, my brothers and sisters, is where those power generators were conceived, and these were the ones who supervised their construction upon your planet. Here the sciences have progressed to an amazing degree. We see evidences as we approach and notice their tall, spiraled, and spired cities, that transportation does not even require the use of vehicles. We see central power distribution systems, five in number, supplying energy for the use and consumption of all upon this planet. We see high-speed causeways which transport their citizenry from one place to another. One merely steps aboard a moving field of light, and faster than can be comprehended, has arrived at their destination. As this planet enters its night cycle, it is a most beautiful sight to behold. For everywhere, its surface is crisscrossed by various shades and shafts of light, connecting their various population centers. These causeways, used for the transport of their commerce and their beings. We also see craft of a unique construction. Here we see spacecraft being manufactured, and the size is entirely spherical. Knowing of the technical difficulties encountered in propulsion, These ones have solved the method of propelling their ships by types of magnetic fields that are indeed highly advanced. Now, as we circle about and traverse further, we come to still more different sights. For now, we project ourselves through that form of space known as subetheric, where we warp the very fabric of time about our craft. And we head for the distant one known to your peoples as Sirius. One of the brightest objects in the heavens. And as we draw close, again we notice a planetary system. For you see, my brothers and sisters, life is not a unique facet of creation. It is creation. It is not uncommon. It is prolific. As we draw inwards towards this one, we notice several interesting things. Let us see how adequately your music can describe this scene. For we are witnessing titanic forces in control of a planet. Here we see gigantic mining operations, vast beyond comprehension. We see minerals being extruded from the core of a planet. Minerals of which your atomic tables are not even aware of. We see here metals known to our peoples as tellurium, as chrysocolum, alloys which impart characteristics to other baser metals, which provide interesting structural effects, and of which a great many of our craft are manufactured. We find substances here also, in collyrium, for instance, which is perhaps hundreds of times stronger and harder than that you know as diamonds. We see here an interesting sight. For here we have solar energy employed on a scale which is staggering. Huge parabolic reflectors, hundreds of miles in diameter, focusing the radiant output of this sun on areas where those metals are reduced to incandescent gases and recombine to form other metals and alloys. We see huge cargo craft in orbit upon orbit circling this planet, waiting for their turns to descend and remove the products of this industry. You see, my brothers, beyond the mere facts that we as humans also have progressed, we have learned to use energies in turn for an ever-increasing source of supply to our neighboring systems and remoter regions of the galaxy. But here we see examples of man's progress on a huge scale. Your combined planetary output would perhaps equal 5 minutes production of this one's output. Now, having viewed this, let us again move on. And this time, where shall we go? There are so many glittering gems hanging in this black velvet drop, each with a story interesting. But I believe know of one which shall interest you. Let us now again channel ourselves into the funnel of force, and surely we arrive at one which is known to your peoples again by the name of Betelgeuse. I can see from your expressions, many of you will require textbooks to understand what I speak of. However, you will find even them interesting in their way. Let us now approach this one with a certain degree of caution. For around the planet of Betelgeuse, we see softly pulsating violet glows, which immediately impinge upon our senses and tell us that here are force fields of a nature that is very subtle. As we make the necessary adjustments, we gradually descend, and upon this one we shall land our craft and pause briefly to walk about. The most interesting thing which strikes our vision is the fact that we see no one about, and yet we find evidences of orderliness and a beauty which is indeed inspiring. We see a mighty city, which appears deserted, and into which we shall make our way. We softly descend and look about. We have landed upon a broad avenue in the heart of this city, and we stand and are transfixed by the slanting golden rays of illumination which strike and reflect off of the tall structures about us. We walk softly down this parkway, passing between corridors of mighty structures. We see beautiful shrubs and flowers. We see indeed the look of extreme orderliness, and yet it does pose a problem. For where are the inhabitants of this world? We look about and still see none. And then an interesting sight attracts our eyes. For directly ahead stands tall portals, which resemble somewhat the entrances to one of your cathedrals. We walk forward slowly, up several steps, pass through the portals, and find ourselves in an entranceway facing a huge courtyard. We have a feeling here of a force which is acting directly upon our senses. We move slowly into the courtyard, and we see ahead of us a fountain lifting feathery fingers of, yes, it is water, of many colors and hues, into the air in graceful formations. And about us, a walkway winding through hooded arbors, banks of vegetation, and we find an all-pervading sense of concealed dynamics. Energies latent in this environment. And even we sense a type of quiet contentment. For though great forces we feel abide in this deserted place, as we walk about, looking with rapture upon this sense of ideal perfection, we see a stone bench ahead, peculiarly we feel drawn, and we step forward and seat ourselves. And as we do this, again the feeling, why is all of this deserted? And then, to our amazement, a form starts to take place before our eyes. And lo, we have one appearing who could be called an elder in his soft robes, his flowing beard, and the sight or expression upon his face and in his eyes proclaims him to be Master. We stand and then kneel before this one who walks to us and places his hand upon our heads. A feeling of great benevolence, of great light passes through our bodies. And then this one bids us to stay as long as we desire. But we have much yet to witness. And after having received the vibrations of this place, we again turn and trace our footsteps back to our craft. Now, as we rise slowly above this planet's circle, and again gaze out into the depths of utter darkness, we shall pick another place of interest. Your music proclaims a somewhat martial air. So let us take a look at those who enjoy themselves in the practice of military tactics. Does this sound strange, my brothers and sisters? Well, knowing of evolution, it should not be so. We approach now one known to your astronomers as a little planet, and a very dim one. We shall go now to one known is Wolf 359. Here we find the pageantrian color, the way of life prevalent upon your planet during what you called your Middle Ages. For here, my brothers, we find a planet whose scale of evolution is no higher than this. One indeed who is actually behind you. We look down from our heights carefully, so we won't attract their attention. And we look as we surround our craft with a heavy fog to simulate their cloud formations. And we see castles. And indeed, an evolution similar to that which transpired upon your planet in early days. Gallants mounted upon horses, carrying their lances, and going forth to meet, perhaps, a dragon. A feudalistic world, one knowing not but the power of might. Indeed, one which is yet much to learn. Yet, my brothers and sisters, how can we from loftier heights not look upon this budding one and realize that all who have evolved have experienced similar moments? Even in this, we see the handiwork of he who is known as our creator. Man's striving attempts again to ever reach upwards and outwards towards that goal which he knows exists in infinity. Let us move on again, and we shall find one who will prove most interesting. Let us now head our craft towards another corner of our galaxy. Let us go and visit that strange one known to your astronomers as Procyon. You are aware, of course, of those beings who dwell thereon. But let us now go and take a closer look. As we approach this one, we again feel impinging upon our perceptions a subtle vibration. And as we glance through our viewing screens, we notice that our approach has not gone unnoticed. For about us, materialize craft, which dwarf ours in size, such as your planet dwarfs, shall we say, a grain of sand. Do you not notice, my brothers and sisters, a difference here in scenery, apparent immediately, as we are acknowledged and proceed lower down towards this one's surface? We feel an effervescent sense of joy and well-being. And here we behold sights which truly confound even we who have witnessed so much. Perhaps, my brothers, this shall prove our most interesting stopover. For as we look about, we notice that there is nothing actually to see. And as we communicate this startling knowledge to the craft still hovering with us, we are informed that this is as it is to be. For Procyon's force fields are so tuned that upon the approach of a spacecraft as to render their planet invisible. And we are warned not to become frightened as reality appears about us. Then, as we slowly descend, we noticed one of their great craft hovering ever closer to ours. And then a cone of violet light is emitted from the craft above us. And we are caught up in its swirling luminescence and suddenly turned about and brought down closer and closer to that we know is a planet. Yet such does not show to our vision. And suddenly there bursts about us a light of intensely blinding white radiance. And there before us lies a gem of emerald green, of beauty beyond description. As we settle downwards now, through a field of force which refracts light about it to make this planet invisible, we hover uncertainly, for where do we land? There are mountains, there are valleys. All is one vast, mighty panorama of a magnificent civilization. For what we see here, dwellings suspended in their atmosphere. We see here buildings which are not buildings, but rather colosseums, transformed and supported upon shafts of invisible energy. We see here mighty structures reflecting the light of the entire visible spectrum in every shade and hue, capable of registering upon our eyes. We feel the soft palpitations of vibrations coursing through the air. We are greeted and buffeted by wave after wave of a feeling of love so intense that our senses become heady and our beings flushed by this sensation. Truly, this does take getting used to. For here we meet the mighty beings of Procyon, who approach our ship as it is drawn down to a landing area the size of one of your great cities. As our craft gently settles towards their surface, we are greeted by three who appear suddenly at our entranceway and beckon us to descend. And when we have done this, we are taken by our hands and led, or should I say lifted, for I do not know which, to a huge structure which surrounds this landing area. And we notice one most staggering thought as we progress, that our feet have never yet touched this surface. Indeed, we seem to not have a weight. For as we stare, we see that our shoes do not even touch this one's surface. We are told that this is possible because of minute films of energy which form layers between our feet and their surface, a type of controlled force field. The reasons for this, we are aware, are not immediately apparent, but our gaze is caught and held. For in looking about us, we do notice that we have indeed touched down upon a planet eons and the ends of time in all of our futures. For this, my brothers, the mighty one, Procyon, with the beings who inhabit its surface, who enjoy the privileges of this place, are indeed examples of what man in his evolution and in his strivings would have an opportunity to advance to, if he is not hindered. Now our guides inform us that we shall only be allowed to witness a certain number of wonders upon this planet. we can readily understand that there are some things that are present here. Things that can be sensed through the very vibrations of the ether and air about us. Forces which seem to sing hymns to our very beings, to diffuse our minds and envelop them, expanding and contracting in various many-colored hues of light. We hear choruses singing in our minds of thoughts and deeds, of worlds and galaxies, of places strange to the foot of man. And we feel that any who set foot upon this one surface are indeed truly humbled, if not by those beings who are with us, but by the very nature of this planet's vibrations. Now we are led into a strange structure upon our right, and we stand there spellbound, for what we are gazing upon is something which does descry our meager and humble descriptions. For what we are gazing upon is a sphere of whirling light, not suspended by anything visible, but merely rotating. We are told that this is a scientific device that creates energy equivalent to a million suns. We are told that this energy is directed to any place upon this planet, and that this one power plant can control the very atomic nature of all matter within this one's planetary field. We see now, as we are led to a structure where again a certain warmth is felt. For here we gaze upon something which slightly resembles an object within my planet's environment. For we see here a mighty jewel which is pulsating with a soft glow, and which we feel humble enough to bow our heads to. And as we stand before this sight, we feel tears springing to our eyes and fountaining down our cheeks. For as we look more closely, begin to comprehend that three shadowy shapes are taking place, hovering in a mist like beauty above this gleaming jewel. And we began to realize perhaps we are in the presence of the Trinity. others. Let us proceed. Outwards and back. Back to our starting place. Back to your planet, the Earth. And as we arrive back again, we hope you have enjoyed this little trip. When we next speak with you, we shall deliver a topic long awaited by your people. I shall again have the pleasure of introducing you to another brother, who will perhaps introduce you to the more intimate mysteries of only one object and one setting. For upon this occasion, we shall examine at great length, and with perhaps minute detail, that object known as your Great Pyramid. We shall walk about and through this mighty structure, trying as we proceed to explain the varied aspects and significances of what this represents to the Earth. And now, my brothers, I shall depart. With great love in my heart for all of you, and hope that we do have the privilege again of being with you and of sharing those things which are of beauty and light. For as you are all aware, with the proper awareness of these powers of universal law, we could all become just that much closer to that which has received our adoration. I would leave you with our peace and light, with the ever-expanding hope that we shall again have the privilege of addressing you, my brothers and sisters, the people of Earth. May our radiant one's light be with all of you evermore, and may the light of my humble being also be expressed to you in this hour of your needs. Adonai, O children of Earth, I am Hatan. Vekyanto Niktum Barakas.